Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Good morning. Feeling the heat, a new warning on the soaring cost of gas, food and travel. This morning, the race to get prices under control heading into the busy summer season and encouraging news on the baby formula crisis, the new help that could begin arriving in days. Breaking overnight, Air Force One touching down in South Korea, the president's first trip to Asia since taking office, looking to counter China's growing influence. A live report just ahead. Scorcher, an early taste of summer temperatures for tens of millions up and down the East Coast. Al's full forecast, including where the record highs will be this weekend. Get boosted, the new message from the CDC after signing off on that extra vaccine dose for kids 5 to 11, with COVID cases surging nationwide once again. And a new worry this morning, has another virus, monkeypox, turned up in New York City. All that plus in the spotlight, jurors at the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial hear the recorded deposition of his former girlfriend and co-star Ellen Barkin.
It's just a jealous man controlling where are you going, who are you going with.
Straight ahead, what Depp's side is saying as the case heads toward a close. And stepping out. Prince William and Kate hitting the red carpet with Tom Cruise at an overnight premiere of Top Gun Maverick, while the palace unveils new plans to celebrate the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, who will lead a very special musical tribute today, Friday, May 20th, 2022.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Welcome today to Today. We got there. Friday.
It is. I feel it. We shall close our eyes. Deep breath. And by the way, Memorial Day weekend is still a week away, but it's going to feel like summer across a lot of the country.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for you. Nearly 60% of Americans are going to have 90-degree heat over the next couple of days. Al's on the road this morning. He's going to give us his full forecast just ahead.
It's fast forward to summer, it looks like. Also this morning, some good news concerning the baby formula shortage. The first flights carrying shipments from other parts of the world could start arriving this weekend. We'll have everything you need to know.
This is all coming ahead of what is likely to be a summer of high prices all across the board. We're talking about gas, food, travel, restaurants, you name it.
Add it all up, and there are growing fears this country could be headed toward a recession or something even worse. Do you remember the term stagflation?
Mm-hmm.
We've got it all covered. We'll start with NBC's Tom Costello. Tom, hadn't heard that one since the 80s.
Yeah, 70s and 80s, last time we heard about stagflation. Stagflation happens when the economy is stagnant, it stops growing, and yet inflation moves higher and unemployment moves higher. Some former Fed officials and top economists are warning right now stagflation is a possibility. Now, I'll tell you that the good news is the unemployment rate is very low, but we are facing a tsunami of economic challenges.
This morning, America seems trapped in a vortex of bad economic news. Sky-high food prices, pump prices at record levels, soaring rents up 16% in 1 year, COVID lockdowns in China, the world's manufacturing center, choking the global supply chain, U.S. corporate profits sinking, Russian oil under partial embargo, Ukrainian wheat exports at a standstill, and all of it feeding 40-year high inflation that Americans are paying for every day. On the front lines, shippers and truck drivers, with diesel fuel prices up 75% in 1 year. In Indiana, Shelley Conaway is a full-time truck driver who also runs a charity to rush supplies to those in need.
We were looking at possibly buying trailers and another truck, but we won't be able to afford to put tires on it or put fuel in the tanks.
All of it sending the stock market lower. The S&P down 18% so far this year. The NASDAQ down a stunning 27%.
Are we closer to a bottom in your mind?
We are seeing some signs that we might be near a bottom for some stocks.
The last time the country faced so many economic challenges.
If inflation this year does increase at the present rate, it will
1980, when inflation hit 13.5%. Now the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates fast to get inflation under control.
What we need to see is inflation coming down in a clear and convincing way.
But analysts warn the economy could fall into recession. In Texas, paramedic Ted Rickard was hoping to take his twins on a camping trip back to Colorado this summer. But skyrocketing prices have forced him to cancel the trip. Instead, he's planning to stay close to home.
The big 8 days, you know, you're talking like 5-6 tanks of gas at like $80 a piece. So it's just economically a non-starter.
Yeah, a lot of families reconsidering their summer travel plans because of exploding prices for gas, airline tickets, hotels, restaurants, food. It could, in fact, alter the way that we go through the summer. Guys, back to you.
All right, Tom Costello, thank you.
Let's move now to those new developments. In the race to find the nationwide baby formula shortage, the first flights carrying supplies from foreign countries could start arriving as soon as this weekend after the Biden administration took emergency steps to bring some relief. NBC's Jolene Kent is in Austin, Texas. Formula is very hard to find there. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hi, Hoda. Good morning. Good morning from the country's largest milk bank, where donations are flowing in response to this formula shortage. In fact, demand here, the executive director says, is up 300% from families who have babies on formula, but they can't find what they need. This comes as the FDA commissioner tells Congress that help could be on the way within days. Operation Fly Formula could start moving imports of foreign formula into the United States in the next few days. The White House announcing the first flight carrying around 246 pallets of formula from Zurich, Switzerland to Indiana has been approved. It can't come soon enough for worried parents. And on Capitol Hill yesterday, lawmakers on both sides grilled the FDA commissioner on where the nation's formula shortage goes from here.
We should begin to see improvement within days.
So I can tell my constituents that within a matter of days, they'll be able to find formula on the shelves?
Within days, it will get better, but it will be a few weeks before we're back to normal.
The FDA telling NBC News it is concerned not having certain formulas available on shelves could pose life-threatening risks for infants.
Three girls, oh my goodness.
Like three-month-old triplets, Nami, Eritrea, and Anya. Their mom, Sydney Galvin, says she's been grappling with the shortage for 2 months after their formula was recalled.
How are you dealing?
I'm just really taking it day by day, to be honest.
Unable to find her formula on shelves, she had no choice but to suddenly switch brands.
They weren't tolerating it very well at first, actually. They had a lot of reflux.
Desperate, she's now turning to the Mother's Milk Bank here in Austin. The milk bank usually reserves this milk for the most medically fragile babies, like those in hospitals. But for formula-fed babies in crisis, they're giving away 39 ounces of donor milk per baby, ramping up processing and pasteurizing to meet the growing need.
If we don't fill this gap, families will attempt to fill the gap themselves by choosing to dilute their available formula or choosing to feed their infants something not made for infants. That cannot happen.
Texas has been hit particularly hard. The formula out of stock rate here is now 50%. Parents are thankful as milk banks step up to fill the void, now shipping the life-saving milk to 26 states.
I'm so glad that they could give us a little bit.
Milk banks across the country have freezers like this. It's minus 20 degrees in here, and they need people to donate. This freezer is the first stop if you donate milk, where your milk comes in, before it is then cooled and pasteurized. And as much as milk banks like these really do want to make that difference, they say they can't do this forever. They're serving two communities, babies in the hospital and now babies who need formula. They say they need more to be done. This is not the long-term solution, guys.
All right, Jolene Kent for us there in Austin. Joe, thanks.
Breaking overnight, President Biden touching down in South Korea to begin a nearly week-long trip to Asia. This is his first to the region since taking office. NBC's chief White House correspondent Peter Alexander is traveling with the president. He joins us from Seoul. Peter, good morning.
Savannah, good morning to you, and we're just learning some breaking news. We have now learned that two Secret Service employees were sent home just a matter of hours ago after an alleged drunken incident here that took place in front of President Biden's hotel 2 days before the president got here. These two staffers, I'm told, allegedly got into a heated argument with several people over a taxi cab before police were called there. I just spoke to the Secret Service spokesperson, who tells me that they are aware of the off-duty incident that, quote, may constitute potential policy violations. The spokesperson says the staffers will be placed on administrative leave and that the incident, he says, had no impact on the president's trip. The White House, for its part, is not commenting. As for President Biden's visit, he's going to spend 5 days here in South Korea as well as in Japan. And even as he's been focused heavily on the war in Ukraine, the president is looking to demonstrate his commitment to this region and to send a message to China that the U.S.'s alliances here remain strong. His first stop, as we speak, touring a Samsung semiconductor site alongside Seoul, or South Korea's newly inaugurated president. The global shortage of those microchips leading to the rising cost of cars and other electronics, all of it helping fuel inflation now at a 40-year high. President Biden here looking to strengthen supply chains so the U.S. does not rely so heavily on China. Savannah.
All right, Peter Alexander traveling with the president. Thank you.
Meantime, with COVID cases surging nationwide, once again, the CDC has now signed off on the first COVID booster shot for kids ages 5 to 11. NBC National correspondent Gabe Gutierrez has details. Hey, Gabe, good morning.
Hoda, good morning. There was some debate about whether a booster dose for kids was needed since so many in that age group were infected over the winter. But ultimately, CDC advisors overwhelmingly recommended it.
Overnight, the CDC director signing off on Pfizer's COVID booster shot for kids ages 5 to 11 after an advisory panel voted 11 to 1 hours earlier to recommend it. The smaller booster doses are now available to children 5 months after they received their first two shots. Welcome news to mom Laura Castelline in Iowa.
I feel like this gives kids a step up on it. Like, then your immune system already knows what it's looking for, and the chances of them getting really sick is much lower.
Still, less than a third of kids in that age group have received their first two shots.
The kids, especially, they have good immune system. I don't understand why they needed a booster.
Vaccines for children under 5 are not available yet, but the FDA commissioner says a review of Moderna's application for that age group is imminent.
One of the major lessons is that children are not just small adults, and so you have to do specific studies for the biology and the size.
All this coming as COVID cases among children are on the rise, up 76% from just 2 weeks ago. Overall, the U.S. is seeing 100,000 new daily COVID infections for the first time in months. Over the past 2 weeks, cases nationwide are up 55%, but deaths are down almost 20%, thanks in large part to effective vaccines. In New York, COVID hospitalizations are at a three-month high. In Los Angeles County, public health experts say rising case numbers just triggered a higher risk level, but no renewed mask mandates yet.
I do not think that the country will be as responsive as they might have been a year or even 2 years ago, because we now have approached probably about 70% of all adults in the United States infected with Omicron, even just in the last 6 to 9 months.
Okay, Gabe, as if we don't have enough to worry about. Now we're hearing about the arrival of this other viral disease. It's called monkeypox. So tell us about it.
Yeah, Hoda, officials here in New York are investigating a possible case of monkeypox just days after the first case of the year was confirmed in Massachusetts. It's a rare but potentially serious viral illness that begins with flu-like symptoms and includes rashes. So while the CDC is investigating how the disease got into the country, public health experts caution that the risk of getting monkeypox is low and that it is not nearly as contagious as COVID.
All right, Gabe Gutierrez. Gabe, thank you.
Much more to cover this morning, including that waiting game at the southern border. Title 42, the pandemic policy that's allowed the U.S. to expel migrants to prevent the spread of COVID. Well, it is set to expire on Monday. NBC's Morgan Chesky joins us from Del Rio, Texas, with more on what the next few days could hold. Morgan, good morning.
Yeah, Savannah, good morning. It could be very interesting. Title 42 set to expire in just 3 days, and its future remains incredibly uncertain. A federal judge is expected to make a ruling on this GOP lawsuit, arguing to keep Title 42 in place, saying that it would prevent an influx of illegal immigration. Meanwhile, the Biden administration says that it is no longer needed for the sake of public health. But as the White House maintains that position, authorities here on both sides of the border say that they are preparing for historic levels of migration, some estimates going as high as 18,000 daily crossings. And over the last several weeks, we have seen authorities strategically position themselves up and down the U.S.-Mexico border, where they anticipate thousands of people could cross. In April alone, the Department of Homeland Security reporting more than 200,000 encounters with migrants. And we're just hearing over the last several days that a DPS helicopter observed a group of about 3,000 migrants located just across the border from Laredo, Texas, where we're told they could potentially cross as soon as Title 42 ends. Savannah?
Morgan Chesky at the border for us. Morgan, thank you.
Let's move now to the latest from Ukraine. The nation's forces putting up new resistance to Russia's invasion as stunning new images bring the toll of the war even more into focus. NBC's Aaron McLaughlin joins us with that story. Hey, Aaron, good morning.
Good morning, Hoda. Overnight, Russian missiles striking a number of locations here in Kharkiv in an apparent attempt to try to regain lost ground, although Ukrainian officials say so far those efforts have been unsuccessful. Meanwhile, I want to warn you that some of the images in this report are disturbing. Ukrainians fighting back any way they can, even showing how they blew up a bridge in Donbass to stop the Russian advance. In his nightly address to the nation, Ukraine's President Zelensky saying, Donbass is fully destroyed. It's hell there, and it's not an exaggeration. This as we learn more about the horrors that have unfolded inside the Russian-controlled city of Mariupol. Yulia Paevska, a Ukrainian medic now in Russian custody, smuggled this disturbing body camera footage to the Associated Press. It shows her and her team treating two siblings, gravely injured in a checkpoint shooting that killed both of their parents. As doctors try to save the boy's life, she begs him to stay with her. But his wounds are too severe. I hate this, she says. Ukrainians now also fighting to hold Russians accountable in court. After pleading guilty, a 21-year-old Russian sergeant apologized to the widow of the unarmed man he killed, saying he was ordered to do it. And outside the northeastern city of Kharkiv, prosecutors collect evidence of potential war crimes after the Russians dropped more than 7 bombs onto this once tranquil village.
Right now, they're measuring the distance between where the bombs actually fell and what they believe the intended target to be, the local school where some border guard were hiding. As you can see, the Russians missed.
The investigators found what they believed to be missile fragments in Olga Gutz's backyard. Her 31-year-old son was one of 3 civilians killed in the attack. Through tears, she tells me, had he survived, he would have helped her rebuild.
Do you think there will be justice for you and your son?
I hope they will be punished by God and by the whole world, she says. How can it be that there is no force stronger than Putin? I asked the prosecutor responsible for the investigation in that village if what he's seen so far amounts to a war crime. He told me there's no other way to describe it. And he says that he would like to see the evidence they've collected in the village so far presented to the International Criminal Court. Hoda.
Painful images. Aaron McLaughlin for us there. Aaron, thank you.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. It's Friday. We need to check out the weather. Mm-hmm. And Al has hit the road. In fact, the whole third hour yes. team is getting a jump on the weekend. Let's They're at the go. Beach. What is going on? Our invitations got lost.
That's okay, Al.
I know. Well, you know, there's only but so much room in our suitcase. But I will tell you, there's going to be summer for a lot of us today going into the weekend. Let's show you what we've got happening. Big ridge of high pressure in the eastern third of the country. Jet stream up to the north. And so a major weekend warm up from Texas to the northeast. Summer-like warmth, but it's going to feel more like early fall as you get into the Pacific Northwest and parts of the West. In fact, 60 cities across 21 states will see record highs through Sunday as this system as this heat just builds. And in fact, it's going to be toasty in Texas with records possible in Midland, Dallas, on into Houston, Longview, and Wichita Falls. That heat moves into the Northeast. In fact, we've got heat advisories tomorrow for 25 million people. It's going to feel like up to 100 degrees. This is really rare in the Northeast for the month of May and New England as well. The temperatures, as you look over this weekend, well, on Sunday, Binghamton, 90 degrees, 94 on Saturday. New York City will see temperatures in the upper 80s, Boston in the low 90s as well. But then temperatures cool down as we get on into the beginning of next week, as that cold front brings Arctic air this weekend with temperatures plummeting 20 to 30 degrees. And that is your latest weather. Guys?
Who's behind you?
Are those your friends?
Oh, yeah,
who's back there? Is that Dylan and Chanel?
Oh, no. Beachgoers behind you.
No, these are just some of the friends who are wondering where you guys were, just hanging out.
We're wondering, too, and there. We love the pink pants.
Tell Yosef behind you we said hi.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
He looks just like our floor director.
No, he does.
Seriously, twinsies.
All right.
Everyone's dying. Okay.
All right, still ahead. We got Johnny Depp's behavior in the spotlight as jurors hear from his former girlfriend, actress Ellen Barkin, and his former psychiatrist will have the latest as that trial heads to a close.
And then, could this new technology put an end to drunk driving? An in-depth look at a low-cost device that could soon be installed in cars and greatly reduce the number of fatal crashes. But first, this is Today on NBC.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's 7:30. It's a Friday morning. How'd you like to be there right now? Mm. How about that beautiful Hilton Head, South Carolina? Guess who is there? Our entire third hour family, Craig, Al, Chanel, and Dylan. And they're going to have a special show. We're going to get a jump start on summer fun. It just makes you want to hit the beats.
This is Craig's land. He's the king of South Carolina.
Yes.
He has to be there.
Yes.
So we got Tom here filling in.
And I was also going to say, he loves Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, he does.
And
it's
that was
happening.
The track there. It's perfect. He's in his sweet spot. Yeah. I wonder why they're there and we're here. Because I want to switch.
We wondered that ourselves. Yeah. Yes.
But I'm happy I'm here.
We're happy for them, though. Let's get to the headline. 7:30, billionaire Elon Musk is denying allegations in a news report that he had sexually harassed a flight attendant on a private jet back in 2016. Business Insider reporting that Musk's company, SpaceX, paid $250,000 in 2018 to settle a sexual harassment complaint. No lawsuit was ever filed. Details of the story have not been independently confirmed by NBC News. Musk denies the accusations on Twitter, calling them utterly untrue and politically motivated.
The Oklahoma legislature passed a bill yesterday that would ban nearly all abortions, making it the most restrictive law in the country. Republican Governor Kevin Stitt expected to sign that measure, which would prohibit abortions after fertilization, with few exceptions. Abortion providers say they would stop performing the procedure as soon as the governor signs the bill.
All right, now to a free lunch promotion gone completely wrong. Earlier this week, food delivery app Grubhub offered up to $15 in free food to customers in New York City. Great idea. The only problem, many restaurants apparently didn't know about the promotion in advance. They were completely swamped with orders. Get this, the app averaging 6,000 orders a minute. Many businesses couldn't fill them or get drivers to deliver the food. In a statement, Grubhub says it did give advance notice to restaurants, but it says the demand blew away all expectations. Savannah, that's where your wings went. That's where the wings were on Tuesday.
You know, they say there's no free lunch.
Yeah, there really isn't.
There really isn't, and that's why.
All right, let's turn now to another high-profile appearance, the defamation trial between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Jurors have now heard recorded video testimony from Depp's former girlfriend. You saw her there, co-star Ellen Barkin, who recounted a time when the star allegedly lashed out.
NBC's Stephanie Gosk is here with more on that. She's been following the case. Steph, good morning.
Hey, Savannah, good morning. Depp is suing Heard over an op-ed she wrote that he says cost him acting opportunities, but Heard's team is making the case that Depp and his team have waged a smear campaign against her that's damaged her career.
He's just a jealous man, controlling. Where are you going? Who are you going with?
Another ex of Johnny Depp's painting a picture of a volatile partner. Actress Ellen Barkin dated Depp in the 1990s.
Mr. Depp threw a wine bottle across the room, the hotel room, on one instance.
Her video deposition, taped in 2019, played by Amber Heard's legal team on Thursday.
He was drunk all the time, a lot of the time.
With respect to any of that, hallucinogens, cocaine, or marijuana, did he do any of that in your presence?
Yes.
More than once?
All the time.
Depp's former psychiatrist said in a video deposition taped in January that Depp struggled to control his substance abuse and anger.
His drug use, and his turning to drugs to help relieve a lot of the psychic pain that he was experiencing.
On Wednesday, Amber Heard's sister Whitney Enriquez took the stand, recounting a fight on the staircase of Depp and Heard's penthouse in 2015.
I'm facing Amber. He comes up behind me, strikes me in the back, kind of just somewhere over here. He strikes me in the back. I hear Amber shout, "Don't hit my sister." She smacks him, lands one.
Depp is suing Heard for $50 million over an op-ed she wrote in the Washington Post, calling herself a representative of domestic abuse victims. Heard is countersuing for $100 million. Depp denying Heard's claims of physical abuse and saying Heard's op-ed damaged his career. Meanwhile, the social media fervor surrounding the trial is only intensifying.
Why I never noticed that the carpet was so filthy before.
Celebrities like Lance Bass joining in the widespread mockery of Heard in a video that he's since deleted. Heard's agent testifying in a March video deposition that the firestorm has cost her client work in Hollywood.
They just don't want to hire someone that has bad press around them.
A bruising battle in the court of public opinion, and a week left to go before jurors begin deliberating.
So we're heading into the final week of this trial. Mm-hmm. What are we expecting?
So you have the closing arguments on May 27th. And keep in mind, Depp's team has to prove not only that Amber Heard did him harm with that op-ed, but that she did it maliciously. In other words, she did it deliberately. So that's what the jury's going to have to think about.
So Johnny Depp is suing her for $50 million. She's countersuing for $100 million. What's the likelihood that there's going to be a payout? What's going to happen at the end?
Well, I mean, those are big sums of money. And Johnny Depp says he didn't get Pirates of the Caribbean 6 because of it. And all of the opportunities he lost are worth $50 million. Amber Heard says she lost opportunities worth $100 million. Her agent saying that she didn't get anything after she did Aquaman, which is very unusual. But look, the other option here for the jury is to tell both of them, you both get nothing.
Oh, they can do that?
They could both get nothing?
Yes, they can decide. There's a countersuit and a suit, and the jury can decide against both of them.
Wow. Yeah.
The jurors may have had enough.
Yeah. Lost.
Stephanie, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, next up, the race to make our roads safer by preventing drunk drivers.
An inside look at groundbreaking technology that could soon find its way into most cars. Coming up right after this.
He would lie his way into their dreams.
He was looking for James Bond girls.
How fun would that be to be a Bond girl?
Then twist them into a nightmare.
This guy's done this before. He'll do it again.
Until a group of women banded together to put him behind bars and keep him there.
You have to participate fiercely, fiercely in what happens next.
I'm Keith Morrison, and this is Murder in the Hollywood Hills, an all-new podcast from Dateline.
All episodes of Murder in the Hollywood Hills are available now. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
Hello, parents, homeschoolers, and teachers. Trusty narrator here from the Who Smarted podcast. Our 15-minute episodes are perfect for car rides, bedtime, break time, class time, or anytime. We make learning science and history fun and funny for 7 to 11-year-olds with new episodes every week. Look for Who Smarted on any podcast platform or at whosmarted.com. And teachers get a free subscription to our ad-free version by clicking educators at whosmarted.com.
We're back at 7:40 in depth today. This morning, a new solution potentially in the fight against drunk driving.
Yeah, more than 10,000 Americans are killed in drunk driving crashes every year. Well, now the government and automakers are pouring millions into a coordinated effort to make smarter cars that stop drunk drivers right in their tracks.
Yeah, this is a fascinating story. And our friend from NBC News Now anchor Aaron Gilchrist has the story. Aaron, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, there are several groups across the country working on tech to help save lives right now. We caught up with one team of researchers. They're almost done creating a sensor that would detect whether a potential drunk driver is too drunk to drive, and it would keep you from being able to move your car. On the nation's roadways, an alarming trend. New federal data shows more than 11,000 people died in alcohol-related crashes in 2020, a 14% increase from the year before. Now, to help prevent those accidents, there's a new focus on groundbreaking technology that could soon become a standard feature in your next car.
This is our opportunity today. It is what I call the seedbed of our generation.
Engineers at KEA Technologies near Boston are developing an alcohol sensor to detect drunk drivers and disable their cars.
So this is a door sensor, and then the steering column sensor is right here. The sensor is down here, and it's taking the sample from this location all the way down, and we calculate alcohol concentration.
Last fall, President Biden signed the bipartisan infrastructure bill, greenlighting a new law requiring car manufacturers to install anti-drunk driving tech in new cars by 2026. Rena Abbas-Taylor of Michigan worked with her local congressman and Mothers Against Drunk Driving to get the law passed.
I could not talk about it. And I did not know or care what came next. And it was this fight that gave us something to live for.
Taylor's younger sister, her brother-in-law, and their three children went to Florida on a family vacation in 2019. On their drive home through Kentucky, they were hit head-on by a wrong-way driver. The family died in a fiery wreck on Interstate 75. The man in the other car died, too. His blood alcohol level was 0.306, nearly four times the legal limit.
A loss like this, it doesn't just impact you, it alters you, I mean, indefinitely.
Through their grief, Taylor and her husband have been vocal advocates for getting anti-drunk driving tech as soon as possible.
What I hear is how many lives are going to have to be lost before we can say, all right, let's put this technology in. So when I hear 3 years, I hear 30,000 lives, and that's not okay.
Back in the lab, Zauk's team is refining and running human subject trials and says it's on track to have sensors ready in 2 years.
Goal was to develop sensors that can be non-invasive, unobtrusive, passive.
If I get in and I am over that limit, will the car not start? Will it start but not move?
So our recommendation is start the car, don't move the car.
Some groups like the ACLU worry this type of technology could be a privacy disaster, but the industry says that should not be a concern.
There's nothing about what we are doing that would allow the technology to report you to a third party, to a law enforcement that will track you.
The developers at KEA believe this tech could save thousands of lives each year, exactly what a loving big sister set out to do.
What do you think your sister would say to you today?
I would like to believe that Rima would say, I expected nothing less from you.
Now, one of the big questions is cost, right? Is this tech going to make cars a lot more expensive? The Automotive Coalition president we spoke to says no. Once the tech is widely deployed, it will add maybe $200 to the cost of manufacturing a car. And as more and more cars get this tech, it would be less expensive. But the idea is that it would save lives.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how anyone could be against this. I mean, yeah. We needed this kind of stuff last year,
yesterday. Yeah, indeed. Aaron, good to have you here on the
Thank
Today
you.
Show.
Thanks for
nice
having
to see
me.
You.
Appreciate
it.
All right, let's get another check of the weather. Mr. Roker spending the morning in Hilton Head and looking fab, I might add. The pink pants are chef's kiss, Al.
Well, thank you. Also got the pink Vans also, guys. Yeah, it's a pink kind of day. Well, let's show you what we've got going on for you. Weather-wise, we are talking about, severe weather stretching from the Great Lakes all the way down into Texas for 8 million folk. Also in the Northeast, we're looking into this evening. Then for tomorrow, we've got a risk of severe weather from New England all the way back down into Texas with the possibility of hail and damaging winds. And then Sunday moves into the Northeast of New England. Strong winds, low tornado risk pushing on its way through. And as far as the south, we are looking at rain all the way down into Florida and as far east as parts of Missouri and Oklahoma. That is your latest weather. Ladies, we've got, of course, a boardwalk, and we all remember that song. Under the boardwalk, we'll be having some fun under the boardwalk.
We have, our version is like this. Mm-hmm. On the set, not invited to the beach. So not as catchy.
Yeah. We love you, Al. We'll see you in bed. All right. Coming up next, the palace revealing the new details on the celebrations to mark the Queen's Platinum Jubilee.
Among them, a star-studded concert featuring some of the biggest names in music. We're live at Windsor Castle with everything you want to know right after this. Carson joins. We've got more on the celebrations for the Queen's Platinum Jubilee just a couple weeks.
Yes, we do. She's made several rare public appearances in recent weeks at events that, of course, marked that historic 70 years on the throne. And we're starting to learn more about what's to come, including a star-studded musical tribute.
NBC's Molly Hunter is right there at Windsor Castle. Hey, Molly, good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning. That's right. All eyes are on the Platinum Jubilee, and we are getting more details about this huge public concert. Diana Ross, Elton John, and I'm told on very good authority that one of Savannah's favorites, Duran Duran, will also be there.
This morning, the royal celebration is on, with festivities for the Queen's Jubilee well underway. The stage is now set for a platinum party at the palace. Buckingham Palace revealing a star-studded lineup for the Jubilee concert in June, one of the hallmark events to mark the Queen's historic 70 years on the throne. The night will feature many A-list acts, including the band Queen, Sir Elton John, Duran Duran, and Alicia Keys, with Diana Ross closing out the show. Ross is no stranger to royal performances, sharing her excitement on social media, writing, "I am honored to perform for Her Majesty the Queen once again." While preparations for the massive celebration move full steam ahead, it's still unclear if the 96-year-old monarch will be in attendance. She's been battling mobility issues and has been deciding day to day which Jubilee appearances she'll be making. But in recent weeks, the Queen has been back in the public eye.
Where might I go?
On Tuesday, she surprised commuters in style, visiting a London train station to mark the opening of a new rail line named in her honor. And just days earlier, the Queen was spotted at her first Jubilee event, the star-studded Royal Windsor Horse Show. The Queen walked with a cane to her seat in the royal box and was later greeted with a standing ovation from the packed crowd.
Now, lots of speculation about that reunion with Harry and Meghan. And of course, the big question, will little Lilibet and Archie get to spend some quality time with their great-grandmother? I'll send it back to you guys.
All right. Of course, at Windsor Castle.
Molly, thanks.
It's going to be a good show.
Quite the lineup so far. Speaking of the royal family, guys, William and Kate hit the red carpet with Tom Cruise last night at the London premiere of Top Gun Maverick. More on that and a prestigious new honor for the Hollywood superstar.
Coming up, your 8 o'clock hour.